and it would have been her 98th. So one of her favourite songs was Vera Lynn singing The White Cliffs of Dover. So here she is, White Cliffs of Dover, Vera Lynn. See you next week, everyone.
Never forget the people I met braving those angry skies. I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. For when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover. Tomorrow, just you wait and see. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see.
Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
And this is your weather for Sunday, the 21st of April. Tonight, any residual showers will be fading across eastern parts of the region. Largely dry conditions and clear spells expected overnight. Cloud building across the northwestern parts by dawn, and there'll be some light wind. It'll feel chilly under clear skies tonight, minimum temperature 4 degrees Celsius. On Monday morning, we're going to be waking up to some early sunshine, which will turn increasingly hazy as cloud thickens from the northwest. Outbreaks of mainly light rain arriving later to spread across all areas during the evening. Temperatures for tomorrow, below average, maximum temperature 9 degrees Celsius, and that's your weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Hello and welcome to the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM. This week it's all about immersive art, and we're joined on the show by Amber Jarman-Craney, who will be telling us all about her new immersive show called Bound in London, which explores journeys, loss, shared through music, memories and movement.
and we'll have a playlist of immersive music to tune into. So now's the time to go and get your headphones and get ready for a full audible experience. In the meantime, we'll be here with you for the next 2 hours, wherever you are, whenever you're listening. So let's get on with the show. I'm Claire.
And I'm Natalie, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Testimony from Brother Nicely Nicely Johnson. Brother Nicely Nicely Johnson.
Get up, you fat water buffalo!
Well, it happened to me kind of funny. Like a dream. That's it. A dream.
Tell us, in your own words.
I dreamed last night I got on the boat to heaven, and by some chance I had brought my dice along, and there I stood and I hollered, "Someone fade me," but the passengers, they knew right from wrong. For the people all said, "Sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat."
People all said, "Sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat."
And the devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down,
sit down, you're rocking the boat.
I sailed away by some chance, found a bottle in my fist, and there I stood, nicely passing out the whiskey, but the passengers were bound to resist. For the people all said, "Beware, you're on a heavenly trip." People all said, "Beware,
people all said, beware,
you scuttle the ship." And the devil will drag you under by the fancy tie round your wicked throat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down,
sit down, you're rocking the boat.
And as I laughed at those passengers to heaven, a great that's the moment I woke up. Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Lord. And I said to myself, "Sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat." Said to myself, "Sit down,
sit down,
you're rocking the boat."
Sit down,
you're rocking the boat. Sit
down, you're rocking the boat. That was one for Claire.
I was harmonising to that.
Harmonising.
I was, that was amazing, I loved it.
So that was from Guys and Dolls, but not the original, as you probably would have guessed. This is the new immersive version, and Claire, you're going to see this soon.
I am. I'm going to see it on the 14th or something, 14th, 15th of May. I can't wait. It's had such good reviews. It's come back. So it had its first outing last year at the Bridge Theatre. It's come back to the Bridge Theatre because it was so well received, and it got nominated in the What's the West End Awards that were the other night? Recently, that got nominated.
Olivier Awards?
Is it the Olivier's? It got nominated. I can't remember which nominations it got, but it did get a look in at the Olivier's. It's apparently it's like one of the best things to do in London at the moment because it's just it's so incredible. The idea of the Bridge Theatre is it's quite a new theatre, and it's supposed to be. Lots of it is supposed to be in the round so that you're really kind of part of what's going on. So there is a stage, but the stage is also inside the audience. So they take all the seats out of what would be the stalls and it's standing only. So
it's a bit like a party.
Yeah. And so people are kind of moving around as you're standing there as an audience member. The cast are coming in and there's sort of stage points, there's sort of heightened stage points that they're using, but they're coming into the audience and stuff. So it's kind of like a really different experience. So
from the pictures online it looks quite fabulous as well in terms of the colours and the staging and the lighting. It's definitely different from what you would imagine Guys and Dolls to be.
Well, I do imagine Guys and Dolls to be quite technicolour, multicolour, because the film was, so the kind of the original film, there's quite a lot of technicolour in that, particularly with the costumes and stuff and the fact that it was all set in New York. And yeah, I think the only thing for me is that because I was brought up on the film and it's such a strong image in my head, and the characters and the people who played those characters, the actors who played them, are such strongly fixed places in my head, I'm just like, is Marlon Brando and you know, what's his name, the other famous singer, Frank Sinatra. Is Marlon Brando and Frank Sinatra's characters, because they really do, they really are those, they own those characters. And if the actors that are playing them fall short, I'll be a bit like,
I don't think they will.
I don't think they'll fall short.
I think it will be very different to what you've seen to start with, I imagine anyway.
Yes, I mean, it's just such a glorious idea to do Guys and Dolls, because it is a big ensemble piece, so it's a glorious idea to do it in, yeah.
There's lots of neon.
There's lots of
the neon.
The neon
looks good.
But also just such a glorious idea to do it in the standing audience. It just makes you feel like you're in this, because the film really got kind of portrayed this sense of New York hustle and bustle. Looking forward to it.
And you become part of that hustle and bustle. It reminds me a little bit of the ABBA experience you can go to, where you go and sit down and have dinner and people perform around you. You heard of that one? It's over in...
Is that ABBA as well?
Yeah.
You know, not the
new ABBA immersive experience.
Yeah.
You can go to an ABBA musical sit-down dinner
in
Stratford.
Okay.
So you can go book a dinner and then Mamma Mia is performed around you.
Oh, right, okay. Didn't know that. That one on the list. Is it cabaret or something else as well, where you can go and do that? You can have an immersive dinner. I'm actually looking. Later on, we're going to talk about other immersive things that you can do in London. And surprisingly, there's a lot of immersive dinner opportunities. There's lots of things that you can do where you're sitting and dinner is part of the experience. The thing that troubles me the most about immersive theatre is it's really expensive. You know, the tickets are kind of, you know, West End musical ticket price, and also they're expensive shows to put on, because you're either doing something like Punch Drunk, where you have a very small number of people and a small cast,
kind of an intimate,
and it's quite intimate. But that also means that you've got lots of changeovers of cast, because they're running so many of those, and there's only so many times those actors can perform in that way. So they are quite, they do sort of suck money, those types of immersive.
And especially if there's food involved as well.
Yeah.
You usually find there's quite specific food to the performance as well.
But there's also others which
did
are...
Did you catch Rice and Peas a couple of years ago?
No, but I heard about it. Yeah.
That was amazing. But the food was
very much part of it. Yeah.
So.
But I definitely... There are other things that you can do, particularly in the capital, and you know, other things around Essex as well, that are more sort of self-directed immersive things. So if you imagine, like, you know, remember that you've probably seen all the adverts for live Monopoly in London. There's kind of more of those sort of treasure hunty things, and I've done a couple of those in the past. I suppose the thing about that is, if you've got a group of people that you're doing it with and it's fun to do it with other people, then it kind of makes it
kind of, it depends what you make out of it. I mean, even one of those box murder mystery dinners you could could take home. And if you're all into dressing up and playing the game for what it is and just having a laugh, it could be a really nice immersive experience that costs £10.
I feel another immersive radio show coming on, Natalie. I feel the need to do something else, and we keep saying that we'll do this, but we're a bit busy at the moment with something that we might be able to tell you about very, very soon. I think after that, after we've done that, I think we need to aim for another panto.
Another panto?
Another panto.
Funnily enough, Charlotte Bays has just WhatsApped me. It's like she's listening to us right now.
She knew we wanted to talk about panto.
Yeah, she was telling me more about the
Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
Nice. What's she saying about Guys and Dolls?
Let's have a look live. oh, no. she's texted me to say you've already spoken about it.
All right. Oh, well, if you haven't had a chance, I mean, the thing is, you can see Guys and Dolls. If you want to sit on the sofa and watch it, you can watch the most amazing, amazing film. And you'll get loads out of it. And it's a fantastic musical. It's got loads and loads of amazing things, amazing songs in it. Marlon Brando, Gene Simmons, Frank Sinatra, Vivian Blaine, loads of incredible people in it. So you can sit and watch it from home. But if you want something that's more immersive, that's an interesting and different way of seeing this show, then head over to bridgetheatre.co.uk and find out about how they have transformed one of the best loved musicals actually of all time into this incredible performance. It's on until 4th of January next year, so you've got time. Amazingly, they did an offer a couple of weeks ago, which is when I got my tickets, and all the standing tickets were were they £15 or something? So they might do another one of those offers. So keep looking at the website and log in, sign up to receive the information from the Bridge Theatre, because they might do some more of those, particularly because there's a... they've been winning awards and things. So, but yeah, if you get down to the Bridge Theatre, it's just next to the Mayor's office on the Thames. What's it called? Tower Bridge, near Tower Bridge. But yeah, go and see that. How's your week been? Have you had a busy, busy, busy week?
I've had quite a busy week, very work-based busy week, but I did finish watching Fallout, which we were talking about last week, and the ending is quite a substantial plot twist.
Yeah.
So I'm not really going to talk about it, but okay. I definitely recommend, if you've started watching it, to continue to the end, because it's
I looked
really
at the trailer,
the last couple.
And yeah. I thought, I'm going to have to really concentrate on this to understand
what is going on. I don't think you will.
Do you not?
There's a lot going on, but it's quite an easy watch.
Okay.
I would just say if you're not a fan of blood, don't watch it, because it is quite grisly and
quite gory.
Yeah, yeah. So I finished watching Fallout. And then I've been to some nice places in Brentwood this week. So we took a visit to Worley Place,
yes.
To go and see the bluebells, yes. Which seems like a very Brentwood thing to do.
Yes, you go and see the daffodils / narcissi in February, if March, and then you go and see the bluebells in April.
Yeah, so we went to see some bluebells, and it was very lovely, as is Worley Place. And I visited Merrymead House for the first time.
Oh, cool.
Which sounds strange, being in Brentwood for so long, but actually it's been the first reason for me to go there. And yeah, it's just quite spectacular.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
But yeah, I was having a look around there, and I was guided by the Brentwood CVS that they have an original William Morris wallpaper on the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which...
Printed at the time?
No, I think it must have been purchased at some point.
Right.
Because Merrymead House isn't actually that old.
I was going to say, I didn't think it was...
It's like turn of the century, like 20th of 20th century.
It's a very impressive building on the inside. Yeah. There's lots of kind of wood panelling and stuff in there.
The wood panelling's kind of nod back to Tudor wood panelling, and there's a lot of Georgian elements. Yeah. It's just quite a fantastic building.
Yeah.
It's obviously been bespoke.
And it has a lovely cafe.
It does have a lovely cafe. And I was told apparently the man who used to live in Merrymead House had it built right in that spot, because the gardens look out onto the cricket ground, and there was a big cricket
farm. Ah, okay.
But when he died, he left all of the grounds that belonged to Merrymead House to the local people, which is quite nice. But anyway, it's a beautiful building. If you do have a chance, you can just walk in and have a look around. There's a couple of offices in there, and then there's the tea room. But yeah, just go have a look.
Is there also still the Buddhist place?
Upstairs. I'm not sure. I didn't see it, but okay. there were a couple of other rooms that you kind of can't get access to. So, but nice. Yeah, it's worth just going and having a look. And the grounds are really nice.
Grounds
are
lovely. And you can sit outside in the summer from the tea room, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And there's obviously there's the really lovely walk that goes alongside Merrymead, which takes you down to Shenfield between Brentwood and Shenfield. I've done that twice this week.
Oh,
it's lovely. Both times when the Merrymead tea room was shut, unfortunately. But it's really nice down there.
Yeah. So I did that. And then I guess culturally, we had art club at the Mercury Shopping Centre.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was Shakespeare themed. I did a nice chalk drawing of William Shakespeare.
Did you? Oh, are you going to give it to him?
It wasn't very good. I'm not going to send it to him this time. Maybe next time.
How did you come up with the theme of Shakespeare for this one then?
I think it was some kind of Shakespeare week or something. It was actually Charlotte's idea.
Okay.
I can't remember.
You just do whatever Charlotte says.
Charlotte tells me the intelligent things and then I do them.
Well, I've had a busy week in and out of work and been up and down to Southampton, so it's been a bit mad this week. But I have been out on a couple of walks, been walking the dog, so getting back into stretching the back of my leg and all that kind of stuff, and supporting some young people in applying for apprenticeships. So cool. I've been helping one young person to get an application developed for the Royal Opera House creative technician apprenticeship, so I've been helping him do that. In amongst all of that, because I've had a bit of some car journeys, I've been catching up on my podcasts because I hadn't listened to podcasts for a while. So I've gone back to All in the Mind, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and they were talking about mental health in girls and talking about how there are now three times as many girls declaring, talking about, diagnosed with mental health challenges compared to boys, and that gulf of difference is getting bigger all the time. So they've been measuring it over the last 5 years. There's a project called REACH that has been measuring mental health in young people. And so what this new piece of research is looking at in South London is what is going on behind that. What are the differences that girls are experiencing, or is it that more girls are able to talk about it and therefore that's getting recorded? And so there's a big kind of conversation about, with different experts thinking about what is happening. And you know, I've got my own theories about what's going on with girls as well, in terms of particularly because it's happening younger. Yeah. So, you know, it's sort of more starting. There's definitely a big problem about going into secondary school, like that gulf
and transition.
That transition. If you think about it, when you're in primary school, when you get to year six and you're kind of 10, 11 in year six, everyone else is younger than you, and it gives you so much confidence
because you're a big fish in a small pond.
Because you know it all. You've been through the system. It's familiar with you. It's comfortable. It feels really like you're growing that confidence. And when you get to secondary school, you're thrown into a room with ostensibly a whole bunch of people that look like adults, because from the age
of, back to step one again, don't you?
And that, but also because young people from the age of sort of 13, 14 are looking like 18, 19 year olds, it's really daunting.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, you know, you're sort of, particularly if you've gone to a very different secondary school, you might have not taken some of your friends along that journey with you. You might be in a different space to some of your friends. So that transition feels like it's huge.
Yeah.
And actually it feels like that's one of the key things that's going wrong around that transition from primary to secondary. So there's loads of different lenses to look through.
And in
this,
the podcast, they talk about those specific age groups as well.
They were talking about that period of time, but they're also talking about the biological differences between girls and boys, and you know, girls being biologically faster to develop than boys, and therefore at a much younger age being sexualized at a much younger age, just because of physically what they look like, and then that kind of pressure. Talking about exam pressure, talking about, you know, trying to be. I was talking to my friends about this yesterday. You know, when you look back on periods of your life that have been really, really difficult, and if you take yourself out of the scenario and you just write down a list of the things that happened at that time as contextual things, a lot of the time when you write that down on a piece of paper, you can sort of stand back and look at it and go, "Oh my goodness me, how did I ever manage all of that at that moment. And you can, I feel like you can do that at certain points for young people. Like if you kind of say, you know, 13, 15, 14, 15 year old, what you've got biological forces going on, you've got to be this great person who everybody likes. You've got this pressure to be liked, this pressure to build.
You've moved into a period of isolation because you don't know anyone in your class.
Yeah, so you've got this pressure to build new relationships. You're having to forge all those relationships from start and create those associations with people. You've got all the biological stuff that's going on. You've got this.
Your parents have stopped understanding you and you don't know why.
You've got this massive pressure of exams over the horizon and everybody just keeps talking about it. And when you write all those elements down on a bit of paper and kind of go, that's what a 14, 13, 14, 15 year old is dealing with, that's a lot.
Yeah,
it's such a lot. And you know, there's some of those things, like they say, you know, moving house, getting married, burying a parent, you know, those are those kind of biggest life changes that will signify a, you know, a massive moment in your life where you have to either think about things differently or it'll, you know, enable you to reflect on those things. But like some of those things are as big that young people are going through at that kind of really formative age. They're as big as those things and we're expecting them to be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
And that they've got the...
Having never experienced something like that.
Somehow they've got this, you know, this understanding that they know how to reflect on those things. They know how to, you know, it's really difficult. So it does feel, for me personally, it does feel like the whole secondary school system is just not working. It just isn't working for people of that age group.
Support in that transition.
So All in the Mind, really useful and interesting. Lots of different topics as well. So there was there's a whole range of different things that are around the mind and how that influences our living and all the rest of it. So that was, and then I caught up with, I'm slightly obsessed with Korma and Strike again at the moment. Every now and then when I can't find anything to watch or anything interesting, I'll go back into some things that I really, really liked and watch them again. And Korma and Strike is the thing that I've gone back to at the moment. So there's four episodes of it that have been televised, and then there's two more books that haven't been televised yet. One of them is about to be televised, and they're making that one at the moment. But I just read the last one, which was called The Running Grave, and this is where, if you don't know anything about it, this is private detective Cormoran Strike, who has come from an army background, a military police background, and has become a private detective. And he's being contacted by a worried father whose son Will has gone into a religious cult in the depths of the Norfolk countryside, and in the hope of extracting Will, Cormoran's business partner, Robin Ellicott, infiltrates the cult, but very soon the enormity of the danger she faces becomes incredibly apparent. So I've listened to that one on audiobooks because I've realised that audiobooks is my thing. Podcasts and audiobooks is my thing, partly because I'm a lazy reader. And it just doesn't happen quickly enough for me. And I skip stuff and then I miss things. So I read a book and then never remember what on earth has happened in it because I've missed those a bit. And also because I like to crochet, and I just can't read and crochet at the same time. So audiobooks. So I've been listening to that, and that was really cool. And then just a couple of other bits to fill in some, you know, last minute sort of, you know, half an hour slots in the day when I've got time to just download a little bit and in between all the other things. I've been watching Stacey Solomon, who I loved in her BBC One show, which was Sort Your Life Out, and she's hopped over to Channel 4 for a new programme called DIY Programme, Renovation Rescue, it's called. And I read a couple of reviews on it in thinking about coming on the show today, and The Guardian has really dismissed this show, and I think they've missed the point of Stacey Solomon entirely. They were kind of talking about how she's not an expert, and they were making some comparisons about the fact that, you know, she's living in this multi-million pound house with Joe Walsh, and she's doing up her house alongside all these other people who have had horrendous disasters. Lots of the stories are builders who've left people with unusable houses, essentially, and she's going in and helping them to, can think about how to prioritize what the things that they have to get experts in to come and do, but what the things they can do themselves. And then she's kind of going back to her house, Pickle Cottage. And the Guardian was just getting a bit too hung up on the fact that she's got five children in Pickle Cottage and she's, you know, this multimillionaire or whatever. And I'm like, do you know what? That's not what Stacey Solomon's audience is looking at. Stacey Solomon's audience is looking at somebody who has come from nothing and has, you know, gone on various talent shows and made something of herself, but feels very much still like the girl next door. And that is her USP. That is her, wherever she goes, whoever she talks to, she is with them on the same level as them, because she doesn't have this kind of expected airs and graces of somebody with lots of money or somebody who's really famous. And they're missing the point that she speaks to a whole bunch of women in the UK who are watching that and thinking, well, if Stacey Solomon can do it, maybe I can do it. And I think that's the point. I think she is showing that she doesn't always do things perfectly. She sometimes does things and she gets them wrong and they go, you know, they go a bit bodged and they go a bit rubbish. But actually, that's what the DIY looks like. And I think some of the other DIY programmes or the architectural programmes, actually there's no way I could do any of those things that they're doing, because they're all experts. And I think, oh God, you know, I'm lucky if I can put a picture up on a wall in my house because I've got concrete walls. And, you know, that's really, really hard. But Stacey, I think she shows lots and lots of, particularly women, that it's entirely possible to plumb in your own sink. If she can do it, I can do it. So I totally disagree with The Guardian. I think Stacey's following is empowering women to be able to do these things herself. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now. We're going to talk about...
I'm not sure how I feel about Stacey Solomon in that context.
I feel
like there's some element that's not so authentic. I don't know. Not to say I completely agree with The Guardian on that, but just her placement in this DIY scenario. Everything's a little bit quaint. I don't know.
I think lots of that's just her style as well. Yeah. I think that's just what she enjoys. But I also think that she comes across as somebody who's still learning, and she's quite happy to say, I'm learning about this stuff as well. So anyway, it's there are lots of shows with brilliant experts, and like Tiny Tempest suddenly become an expert on house renovation. Like, who knew he was an expert on that? Yeah, there's loads of those shows, but I think there is a specific audience that she is tapping into. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but there is a very much specific audience of women that are going, do you know what, she feels like the girl next door. If she can do it, I can do it. And they're really enjoying it. So it's produced by Reese Witherspoon's company. Hello Sunshine. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Reese Witherspoon's very much girl next door though, isn't she? She did Avon patronship for years.
Yeah, but then I think Reese Witherspoon is less successful at continuing the girl next door image than Stacey Solomon is. I think Stacey Solomon still feels like she could have lived next door to you last week. She just happens to live in this massive mansion now because she married Joe Walsh and became a really massive presenter and stuff. So I see her as being more authentically still feeling like the girl next door, whereas Reese Witherspoon, I can't imagine her going around and talking to everybody in the local park.
I don't know. I don't know Reese Witherspoon personally.
Come to Brentwood and and demonstrate it. I'm going to talk about more immersive things that I've been to over the weekend later on in the show, as this week is all about immersive art, theatre, dance and more. And our playlist is a bizarre mix of music connected to immersive shows and songs that you can, a music that you can immerse yourself in. So we just said at the beginning, go and get your headphones, because some of these feel and are an awful lot better when you've got your headphones. But first of all, we are going to the immersive Van Gogh show that is in London. So there's a huge piece of music that was produced around that show, and this is by Oliver Arnolds and it's called Dorian Island Songs 7.
Thank you. Phoenix FM. Phoenix FM.
Looking to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
Could you give the precious gift of time? Our St. Francis Hospice charity shops urgently need more volunteers. By volunteering at our shops, you'll be helping us to make a real difference to local people that need our experienced care. You'll also gain new skills and make new friends along the way. Apply to volunteer in our shops today. Go to sfh.org.uk/volunteer.
Phoenix FM.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. Few men even considered the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against us.
The summer sun is fading as the year grows old. Darker days are drawing near. The winter winds will be much colder. Now you're not near. I watch the birds fly south across the autumn sky. One by one they disappear. I wish that I was flying with them. Now you're not here. Like the sun through the trees, you came to love me. Like the leaf on the
human beings moved and suffered together. This was no disciplined march. It was a stampede, without order and without a goal. 6 million people unarmed and unprovisioned, driving headlong. It was the beginning of the rout of civilization, of the massacre of mankind.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, he said. The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, but still they come. Yes, the chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, he said.
And that was, of course, Jeff Wayne's The Eve of the War and Forever Autumn medley featuring Richard Burton, none other. And we're playing that because all of the music today is stuff that you can be immersed in. And that was obviously one of the big immersive and also one of the big immersive shows of this decade in London as well. Mm. Although mixed reviews on that one, I think.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
I never saw the show. I really like the soundtrack. My dad used to play it every Halloween for us.
Yes.
What's it called?
A record player?
A record player.
Natalie's drawing a picture of an imaginary record in the air. Yeah. And of course, that whole thing was very exciting when it first got broadcast on radio and everybody thought it was real and aliens were actually coming.
Nothing more immersive than
nothing more immersive.
News.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's a whole, there's a whole program about fake news. What's his face? The comedian on Friday nights now is doing a whole thing about fake news. I personally feel like I don't need any more fake news. There's so much fake news out there. I actually want stuff that's real, not more fake news.
I was watching that documentary about Facebook and all of the badness that goes with Facebook.
Yeah.
There's a lot about fake news and media literacy in there. So
we are having a look about what are the immersive things that you can do this year. I had a look about things in London because that's kind of the closest big city to us, but also we're going to have a look at some things you can do more locally later on. And I'm going to first of all talk about the couple of things that I did over the weekend. So I went across to King's Cross at the newly built Lightroom. So we talked about this last year because the first exhibition was David Hockney's immersive exhibition at the Lightroom. And now it's called The Moonwalkers, and this is on until the 13th of October. It's adults is from about £25, students and under 18s from about £15, and under 15s is free. And the premise of this is if you are at all interested in space travel and particularly moon landings, you are going to love this. And if you like Tom Hanks
more specifically,
which is why I was there, you're going to love it even more. So Tom Hanks narrates an epic experience that offers a unique perspective on humankind's past and future voyages to the moon. So the whole point about why it's happening now, as I was saying to my friends Gillian and Daryl, why is this happening now? It's because there is a planned moon race next year. So apparently they keep pushing it back, but they've got a date next year now where another journey to the moon, the trip to the moon is going to happen, and everyone's getting prepared for that. And it's a different part of the moon. They're going to, I think, the north side, they said they were going to go to this time. So, and of course, we haven't been to the moon since 1972, I think it was. 70 or 72. Mm. So this is a big deal. And Tom Hanks narrates this with a very personal story that kind of holds it all together, because he was there. He talks about how he was there sitting at home watching his television with his parents, watching the first moon landing. So he's got a very personal response to this.
And obviously has been in films since.
Yeah, of course, of course. But yeah, he's really interesting in Space Voyage and being an astronaut. And so it goes through all the different Apollo missions in a bit more detail. It's got some fantastic interviews with some of the astronauts. And of course, you're sitting in a room. You're sitting in this really huge room. And you're sitting on these, you can sit on the floor, you can lie on the floor, or you can sit on these benches. And the idea is that all of the world, all of the walls around you, and they're kind of like really huge walls, are immersing you in the imagery of the moon landing. So it is quite spectacular. So but you do spend a lot of time kind of like, you know, moving around and tilting your head up and all that kind of stuff. But if you're like me, have a sort of vague knowledge of what the moon landings were and what all the different Apollo missions were, and you want a little bit more information, it's really good for that. It's about 50 odd minutes long. So it's a film in essence. It's this kind of series of projections, but with this gorgeous, you know, Tom Hanks narrating around the top of it. And then of course
it's kind of sounds of Tom Hanks.
It's lovely and imagining him as a little boy. And of course it's bringing it up to date with now the Artemis program, and including some of the interviews between the Artemis astronauts and Tom Hanks. So that's really exciting. And of course there's great music and all the rest of it. I suspect that quite a lot of what's in the film you can probably find on YouTube, but it is amazing to be sitting in this huge space and see three walls all covered by this image of the moon landing. And then you can just look at the wall and you can see all the footprints in the moon dust, and you're kind of like, oh my god, I don't think I've ever, and the footprints are like, you know, massive because they're on this huge wall. So just being able to see that level of detail,
like molecular detail,
was so fun. So I did that, and then I met my friends at the Outer Net. So if you see, I think we have talked about the Outer Net before, but this is at Tottenham Court Road. This is a kind of collection of spaces, and I have to say there's probably more of the Outer Net that I haven't actually found yet, because there's upper ground and lower ground stuff going on, and there's a music venue,
something around the back as well, and in the side room there's usually some kind of advertising campaign going on.
You come out of Tottenham Court Tube and sort of near the Queen Elizabeth End, and you can go to this space which is a digital wall, so different to
the light. It's free to walk into, isn't it?
It's completely free and it's completely open all the time. And different to the Lightroom, which is a series of projections on walls, this is a digital wall, so you can interact with it. And at the moment, they had this beautiful collaboration with the National Trust called Nature's Confetti Experience. So you kind of walk into this space and all the walls and the ceiling are suddenly covered with beautiful pictures of nature and great big cherry blossom trees, and the kind of blossom sort of falls down off the trees around you. And then there was also a butterfly trail immersive piece that you could scan a QR code, and then using augmented reality, put your hand out using the QR code and kind of look at the screen, and then these butterflies would land on your hand.
Oh, that's lovely.
So that was really, really lovely. So there's all those incredible and all of that is free. So it's just there. It's like a really different area of London, Tottenham Court Road now. It feels very, very different.
What I think is really nice about that, what you've put in our show notes, is that visitors have the opportunity to donate to National Trust's Plant a Tree appeal, which will help plant and establish 20 million trees by 2030. Which is hugely ambitious. 4 million of which expected to be blossom varieties as well. So you kind of immerse yourself in this artwork, and then you can give a little slice of that back.
That the National Trust is clearly like having a presence in a major urban conurbation to talk to people about why trees are so important.
And reminding people how much they love trees as well.
Yeah.
Because I think you forget all other times of the year. It's only during the spring when you realise, trees are great, aren't they? Look at them, they're so pretty.
So yeah, so check out on the Outer Net website what's available, and lots of stuff. The free stuff is at the Now building just next to Tottenham Court Road, and other immersive things to do in London. We mentioned 1984, and this is kind of a pioneering interactive theatre company teaming up with a rising star playwright, and this is in Shoreditch Town Hall, and it's actually only on until the 27th of April. So
you've got a week to go.
You've got a week to go and see it, but you know, 1984. Interesting to see that in an immersive way. If you've read that book, that's quite a. I don't think I, personally speaking. I don't know if I'd want to do that in an immersive
way.
As an
immersive, as immersive theatre.
Anyway.
One for Vicky Michelle here, 40 Towers, yes. The dining experience. She'd love that.
So this is, again, like we were talking about before, lots of these immersive experiences also bring people together around food. Mm. So although a 40 Towers dining experience doesn't feel like the best way of having a meal out, this is on until the 22nd of December, and it's an interactive dinner show, which is capturing 40 Towers, the show's spirit, surprisingly well,
yes.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Gunpowder Plot. So this is really interesting, and I didn't know this until I read up about it, and now I really want to go. This is on at Tower Hill until the 29th of September. So obviously this is about the gunpowder plot to blow up the Houses of Parliament. It's described as a 100-minute theme park ride, in essence. So starring in it is Tom Felton from Harry Potter fame. Mm. And it's a mixture of kind of live action and recorded and VR stuff. But also what I found really exciting was that the difference with, they were comparing Gunpowder Plot with things like War of the Worlds and why is this one better,
yeah.
Is because the creative team is headed by none other than writer Danny Robbins, who I've been raving about for 2 years now, who wrote the Battersea Poltergeist, 222, A Ghost Story, and all of those other podcasts.
Spooky things.
Yeah, so he's written this with director Hannah Price of The King's Head and activist company Theatre Uncut. So they've come together with this really interesting creative team, Tom Felton starring in it. So I think this sounds really exciting. Mm. And I'm going to go and do that. And then I will report back. So lots of live action scenes, lots of impressive sets, and lots of kind of virtual reality. So I'm going to go away and do that one.
That sounds great.
There's another one about, which was Fields, the Murder Express. This is the Murder on the Orient Express homage, which again is another immersive dinner. So it casts you as a train passenger in the glamorous golden age of rail, and with a mystery to solve. So if you're really interested in your mysteries, then go along to that one. It's in Spitalfields until the 3rd of November, and the menu comes from a 2 Michelin star chef, Niall Keating. So, you know, that would be a nice one as opposed to possibly the 40 Towers one.
As opposed to 40 Towers, yeah.
Which, yeah.
Those are comparisons. I was just thinking maybe we should talk about some of our local immersive events now, very quickly, because we were talking about the Bluebells earlier, and there's a couple of opportunities where you can go and paint within the Bluebells,
yes.
With some local artists. So you can either go to the Essex Wildlife Trust in Hanningfield Reservoir, which is a nature discovery park, and paint with Lucia Hardy, whose work will be on display in the centre from the 22nd of April to the 27th of May. She'll be doing some painting sessions on the 1st, 8th and 15th of May between 10 and 1. And, you can just bring along your sketch pad and have a little draw with her.
Nice.
And also, a bit closer to home, you can go and paint bluebells at World Park Art El Fresco with Irene, who we've had on the show. She's literally just done one of those. She's doing another one next Sunday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. That's £30 per participant, but all materials are provided for that one. Again, it's a nice walk into World, have some nice painting, and then you have some refreshments a bit later. So those are two lovely immersive type art events we've got going on locally. And also, I thought I'd just mention this because you were talking about spacey things over in London. So there's a Science in Pubs festival called Pint of Science.
Nice.
And this is in Colchester, and basically you can go to the pub and listen to a talk about science.
That makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and in a way that is also immersive.
Yeah.
beer immersive. But also, I'm trying to find the link.
What I like about this, though, is that's the University of Essex thinking about how do we get more people excited by science, rather than put on a science festival and make everybody come to our campus to go and experience science. We're going to go and take it into pubs where people are. And it's like, obviously, genius,
it's
you're going to do that.
Idea.
Yeah.
And tickets are around £5. There's probably about 30 talks you can go to in an arranged...
Price of a pint.
Yeah, a pint and a talk.
Yeah.
But there's some really great ones on there, so go and have a look. Oh, and there is a performance over at the Munnings Art Museum as well, a Wuthering Heights performance, which has a little music to go with later. But yeah, that also looks great, and that is on... What date is that? I can't tell the date. But have a look online for that. That's £20 per ticket.
And that's the Munnings Art Museum.
Yeah.
Which I don't know where that is. That's a new one on me. We'll have to look that one up.
Yeah. We'll come back with some more information about that. But that is...
it's got a dress code.
Yeah. And
nature
so basically
spirits.
It's 2 hours and there's an interval and it's open air seating. You bring your own seating blankets, waterproofs, and your own picnic. You dress in nature spirit costume. It's Wuthering Heights, so it's it is Emily Bronte's portrayal of Wuthering Heights, and it's a gothic retelling.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, what's not
can we just play Wuthering Heights now then?
Yes, we can. Of course.
Let's have a bit of Kate Bush.